continue our summer series this morning entitled Be Our Guest. We're considering what does it mean to be a welcoming people? And what does it mean to be a welcoming people in all areas of our lives? So whether that's as a church family, whether that's as an individual, but what does it mean? Looking at hospitality, looking at caring, looking at supporting, looking at all these sorts of things and saying, what difference should knowing Jesus make in regard to these sorts of things in my life? And today we're going to be reading one of the parables of Jesus and considering and looking at the surrounding discussion that kind of tops and tails it, that really speaks in to this whole area. If you've got a Bible, I'd invite you to turn it on or turn to Luke 10. We're going to read the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, verse 25 to 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man going down, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Of all the parables, maybe this is one of the really well-known ones, although in many ways, parables by their very nature are hopefully well-known. Jesus told and taught in stories. He was often out there in the world wanting people to learn from what he was saying, wanting people to grow in what he was teaching them, and so use stories as a way of connecting and illustrating the message he was seeking to communicate. And here the parable of the Good Samaritan comes to the fore, if you will, as we look at this whole topic of welcoming, of hospitality. Because here is someone who stopped, who helped and supported that man on the road. And in many ways, I think it'd be fair to say he went over and above what was expected. Of all those three characters who we read about walking down that road after the man has been beaten up by the robbers, the Samaritan would be the least likely, I imagine we'd say, to actually offer help. But he was the one. Beyond, though, just a model to hold up as this is kind of good practice, if you will. Do what this guy did. Which there's nothing wrong in looking at the parable like that. But beyond that, I think there's a deeper message to this passage and a deeper level in terms of what it says to us and what it may be saying to us here this morning. Because I think if you look at this passage and you look at the parable and you look at the conversation that took place, I think it raises a question that actually I don't want to ask. I don't want to ask it of myself, let alone speak it out to you this morning. It raises a question that I don't really want to admit I've got to think through. It raises a question that I'd much rather just kind of ignore, move on, and look at, verse 38, that looks quite nice. Let's read on there and just forget about this whole passage and what God could be saying through it. It's that question of how far do I really need to go? When we think about hospitality, when we think about welcoming, we think about supporting and caring for those around us, whether that's within the life of the church, whether that's within our homes, within our workplaces, within just the paths we walk, the people we meet. How far do I really need to go? Where do we draw the line? When do we say, well, actually, enough is enough. I don't have to do any more. I've done my quota. I've done my piece. Because it's got to be a point, hasn't there, surely? When we think about being hospitable, when we think about welcoming people, we think about caring for people and supporting them, there's got to come a point, hasn't there, where we kind of go, well, I've done everything I can and I need to, really. I don't need to keep trying. One of the mistakes, I suppose, I think, that can sometimes be made with this passage is that it's very easy and quite nice to separate off the story that Jesus tells to this man with the surrounding verses. We can kind of go, well, this is a lovely, nice visual story. It's a great one for the kids. It's got a bit of violence in it, which always kind of, well, attract the boys, won't it? And they'll want to role play that. It's got different people in it, so there's actually more than just one person. Jesus is not in it as well, so you haven't got any one child who's always going to want to be Jesus, and which one do I pick, and that sort of thing. You've got a donkey in there as well, so that's an animal. So that's just a bit of variety. And we kind of, it's a lovely little story. But it's so easy to, as I say, just separate it off from what is actually going on here. However, I believe we actually need the context, that is the situation that surrounds this parable, to inform, if you will, our very understanding of what Jesus is actually trying to say as he communicates this story to this man. I mean, we have a great conversation going on here, if you actually pull it apart and you look at what's happening, because you have this question that comes to Jesus: what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? It's a pretty good question, pretty, you know, thought through. There's nothing wrong in that. Jesus responds, what is written in the law? And it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. And again, Jesus says, correct, go and do it and you will live. It's all quite nice. Everyone seems to be in agreement. There's no major kerfuffle come in, all that sort of thing. But then the expert in the law asks for clarification. He says, well, but who is my neighbor? I need some parameters here. Give me a sense of, define it, if you will. So Jesus tells this parable, tells this story, and at the end he says, and so who was the neighbor to that man? And the expert in the law says, the one who showed mercy. And then Jesus, the second part of verse 37, says, go and do likewise. In many ways, we kind of go, well, that's great, isn't it? They had a good conversation. Jesus told a nice story. And the guy's obviously, you know, going to go on, hopefully, or he's got that moment of choice of what he's going to do next. I think we need to question, though, the genuineness of this expert in the law. It says in verse 25, he stood up to test Jesus. He came almost with that agenda of wanting to try and kind of, you know, we'll find out where is this really at, and do you really know what you're talking about, and can we kind of almost catch you out? And it's that challenge, that asking questions for the purpose of gaining an advantage, or asking kind of, you know, with no intention of actually implementing what we hear the answer, it's not something that I believe God would want us to engage in. Our goal, if we're seeking to witness, to share Jesus with people, our goal, if we're seeking to learn more and grow in our understanding of God, should not be to be able to get one over on someone else. That doesn't come into it. It's not even kind of, well, maybe on a day ending in, no, it doesn't even, it's not part of it. But yet that's what this guy was trying to do. In very basic terms, he was saying, how can I inherit eternal life by doing as little as possible? So what can I get away with? What can I kind of, you know, what corners can I cut? What opportunities can I miss? How can I get through without having to put much work in, or certainly the least amount of work in possible? And so this question, how far do I really need to go, is actually, I think it's the wrong question. However much it may be the question that we do ask, I think it's the wrong question for us to be asking. It's the wrong question for the expert in the law to be asking, and it's the wrong question for us to be asking today. You see, Jesus, on numerous occasions, if you look throughout his ministry on earth, he takes the often takes the law, the first five books of the Old Testament, as we would know them, and whereas people might be bringing them and saying, kind of, you know, I heard this, kind of, surely that's not quite that harsh, is it? Surely the bar isn't quite up there. And they're kind of expecting Jesus almost to go, well, actually, yeah, it's not really. Let's just lower it down. Jesus kind of takes them on and goes, no, it's actually up here. I'm going to add you a load of other stuff on top. You think it's hard. Actually, if you really take this on board, it's going to mean engagement in a whole other way. And we see that, I mean, Matthew 5 and the Sermon on the Mount is a kind of a key example of that. But if you look in Luke 6 and the end of Matthew 5, Jesus is talking about loving one's enemies. And relating to this is where he says, you know, kind of actually, you need to, it's not about kind of holding back, it's actually going the extra mile, giving the extra wherever possible. And so if how far do I really need to go is the wrong question, not to say the right question, but I think a better question for us to be asking is what does radical hospitality look like? Because that's what I believe we see modeled by Jesus in the New Testament. That's what I believe is the benchmark that we need to be aiming for. Hospitality that is just beyond the norm, beyond the baseline, beyond the expected. And asking that question, what does that actually look like for me? What does it look like for us as a church, as a family of God, but also actually almost irrelevant to everyone else, what does it look like for me? And what are the things that I need to actually be thinking through in terms of how I live my life and the impact that I can make? It's interesting, there's a commentator, a guy called Fred Craddock, and he's talking about this whole idea that sometimes we might kind of go, well, okay, you've got to kind of copy basically this Good Samaritan. That's what you've got to try and do. His words are, remember that this man was delayed, he delayed his own journey, expended great energy, risked danger to himself, spent 2 days' wages and promised to follow up his activity, was ceremonially unclean, socially an outcast and religiously a heretic. He says, this is the profile not easily matched. But surely that should be what we should be seeking to do. Going, I'd like to have a stab at that. I'd like to give it a go. And in the same way, when we might say, well, kind of, you know, we can never outgive God, but surely I should want to have the best go I can at it. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I think we kind of go, well, we're never going to achieve what, you know, what God can do. We're never going to match up to the ministry of Jesus. And we're not, because we're not Jesus. But I wonder whether sometimes that means we just take our foot off the gas and we go, actually, if I'm never going to reach there, why do I even try heading in that direction? That's the call of discipleship. That's the challenge that I believe Jesus sets before us. That's the adventure, if you will, that I think we embark upon when we decide to follow him. And I think as a church, I think it's asking that question, am I willing to step forward, to step up? Am I willing to actually to serve those around me? I think there's some big challenges. And I think, you know, it's very easy sometimes to say, but, well, it's always been like that. Or, well, every church is the same and there's always needs for more people to get involved and all that sort of thing. And, or I've done my bit. I served in the past and, you know, I've done my time. But actually, I believe every single one of us needs to be going, God, what have you got for me now? How can I engage today? What part can I play right here, right now? Reading the news sheet this morning, because of the number of children that we have here on a Sunday, we need more workers. We need more people to support that ministry. And that's something we should be really excited about. And you can look at so many different areas within the life of the church where actually we could say, well, no, yeah, an extra pair of hands, an extra willing individual would make a massive difference. But it's asking that question of God, what do you want me to do? How am I going to step forward? I think individually and personally, I think actually for us it's being willing to start from the ground up. Because we might like kind of big ideas of how do we practically respond? What's the big initiative? What's the massive thing we can put on, the event or whatever, and that's how we can show hospitality and be welcoming and so on and so forth. But personally, I believe actually it's starting right at the bottom and going, what difference can I make? Because the sky's the limit if we start small. There's that verse, isn't there, in Luke 16 verse 10. He says, suppose you can be trusted with something very little, then you can also be trusted with something very large. I think it's working through maybe, well, it's about driving. I'm going to make a point of letting people out. Yesterday we went up to Sandy up in Bedfordshire for Emma's mum's leaving do at the church where she's been pastor the last 9 years, and driving up the A21, I had this thought, even though I know it, I'd written it down in my notes, of driving up, someone was waiting to come out, and I carried on because I needed to get there, which we weren't in a rush. But how many, you know, how's something very small, but I believe if we actually have that mindset, it can have an impact. How about actually on a Sunday deciding, well, I'm going to cook an extra portion of food, and I'm going to set an extra place at my table, and going, okay, God, who is it that you want me to invite? And you might kind of say, oh, but that, I've got to find someone and it's awkward. And I believe if we actually give God an opportunity, I think he will move. When we're cutting our grass, actually deciding to cut the neighbour's grass as well, because it's right next to our grass, there's no hedge between it, and, you know, and actually we could do that. Deciding, actually, I'm going to try and smile and say, you know, good afternoon, good evening, or good night to people whenever I'm walking around the town. And actually, I'm going to make that point of just saying hello. If you watch the number of people who walk round, maybe it's just me, but they walk round with their heads down looking at the floor or somewhere else, and actually just saying, no, I want to make a difference. See, next time you're in Costa or, I don't know, one of the coffee shops in town, wherever you work, actually, as well as buying what you're paying for, going, actually, can I actually buy an extra drink for the next person who comes along? So they've got one less to buy for them. Just because. When we turn our phone on in the morning, rather than checking, I don't know, emails or the news or whatever, it's actually going, no, I'm going to send a message to someone every day just to bless them. I'm just going to say, you know, encourage them for no other reason, because I can. And little things can make a massive difference. I'm going to say hello to the person in the lift next time you're over at the shopping centre, and we get in the lift, and again we do that thing, maybe it's just British thing, but we get in and no one actually looks at anyone, and if kids try and talk to people, you try and stop them because they're just generally friendly, and that's not helpful because then you're going to have to respond as well. You know, actually just saying hello to people, letting someone in front of you go in front of you at the shopping queue because they've actually only got 3 items and you've got a shopping full, and however much you got there before them, well, no, I'm going to let you go in front. Next time someone actually is really helpful at the customer services, making a point of being able to tell whoever it is their manager. Or next time, and maybe this is more of the challenge, next time we actually have someone who's helpful on a phone call, you know, we're ringing up to try and change our gas, electric, phone, but whatever, I don't know, and actually someone's really helpful, actually make kind of saying, what's your name, and actually trying to send an email in. I mean, I think, but what difference does that actually make? But I think it will change our hearts, it will change our attitudes, it will change the people that we are. While we're out and about and we actually, you know, see a child behaving really well, actually to tell the parent, you know, you got a lovely child. And when we see a child actually just creating havoc, to not tut, but actually again to say, can we help? Or are you okay? Or just saying good morning to them. Maybe it's learning the names of the receptionists at work or at the gym we go to or the swimming pool, so we can actually greet them by name when we turn up. Maybe it's actually just being willing when we're with other people to put our phones away and actually just have that conversation and engage with people. I mean, the list can go on and on. We might kind of say, oh, but is that really what Jesus is talking about here in this parable? Isn't that just kind of dumbing it all down and simplifying it? And they're just kind of nice things that don't really make a difference, will they, for the gospel? Or they won't really have an impact. I believe this is where it starts. And I believe the power that could be unleashed through actually having that heart change, as I spoke about last week, of going, I want to make a difference for Jesus. And I want to make a difference, maybe in starting off in some of the really small ways. Saying, Lord, help me to be radical in my hospitality, in my welcome, in my service. And help me ask not how far do I need to go, but how much more can I give of myself? I want to pray, and the band are going to come back and going to continue as we sing. I want to offer, though, an encouragement and a challenge. The encouragement, as I was preparing this, I really felt God just kind of say to me, talk about, you know, loving your neighbor, but actually there may be, maybe it's one person, maybe it's no one here this morning, but there may be someone actually who the whole idea of loving your neighbor is a step too far, because actually you don't love yourself. And it's not something that other people realize, but actually you really don't just think much of yourself at all. And if I see this one, I'd really want to encourage you to go and talk to someone on the prayer team, or share with someone you trust and you know have conversation this morning. I should say, that's just where I'm at. Not for them to offer an answer, but so they can just pray for you. But the challenge I'd also like to ask is, if we're serious about wanting to have that heart change, if we're serious about actually going, I want to live a different life, I want to be all that God has created me to be in this whole area, then I want to challenge you to tell someone before you leave today that you don't want to leave the same as you came. You don't want to leave the same as you came. Not as some kind of repetitive thing that we sometimes do in church. There's nothing wrong in that. You know, we'll all say it and that's great. But actually, if that's where we're at, then I challenge you just to tell someone. Again, not because that will then make, you know, so much easier or make it more sense, but actually just say, that's where I'm at and that's what I want God to do in my life. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for the fact that you love each one of us. I want to thank you for the fact that you know each one of us. You know the lives that we live. And I pray that you will help us to take a step forward for you. You know the different contexts that we find ourselves in. You know the different situations that we face. And I pray that you will help us to take that step, whatever that means. Help us to take it for you and for your glory, Lord. Amen.